All right. It is October 19th, 2021. This is the VC API teleconference, or as Mike, you referred to it, some Tuesday in October. I really like that earlier today. We've got an agenda, so let me go ahead and grab the agenda and put it in here. There's the agenda. On the agenda today, we have just related news, specifically related to VC API from IAW. A note about the VC API renaming being complete. Hopefully spend a good chunk of the call today on prioritization. Where do we want to spend our time, you know, over the next couple of months before the holidays? And then finally, issue processing. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda? All right. Are there any volunteers to scribe? We need a scribe volunteer today. Can anyone do that today?
I can scribe, Mano.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate that. And I just confirmed that Scribe Plus works. I didn't. Someone added that feature. That was nice to see. I missed when that was added to the script. Okay, so let's see. Intros, reintros. Danielle, are you new to the call?
Hi there. Yes, I'm with the Learning Economy Foundation.
Awesome. Would you mind to just give a brief intro to yourself and some background? Always wonderful to see new people here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So I'm listening in today, and I'm working on a project with a playbook for digital credentialing for a C-suite and employer audience right now, and also working with the Open Skills Network and T3. I've been very involved with T3 over the last couple of years. Very excited to learn more and continue to promote open standards.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the group. Wonderful to have you. I know a number of us are aware of and have participated in things like T3 before, so you're among friends. And yeah, just let us know how we can help you author that content. It's really important work, being able to get that stuff out there so people can see it. Any other new folks in the group, folks that want to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves if you haven't been here for a while? Tobias, hi. Would you mind doing an intro? You haven't been here. I don't know if you've been here for a while, but if you haven't, mind doing an intro?
Hey, Mo. Yeah, I have had missed a few weeks. Hi, guys. I'm Tobias from Matter down in New Zealand, and have been sort of working in and around this space for quite a while and contributing to the VCHP API. So happy to be here.
Awesome. Great to see you here. All right. Next item up on our agenda is related news from IIW. I know we tried to do some of that earlier today in the CCG call. Specifically, if anyone has related news related to the verifiable credential API work, so new protocols, new expression mechanisms like Wacky PEX, things that we should be aware of here in the VC API group. Does anyone have anything that they want to report out on from IIW? Go ahead, Adrian, you're on the queue. And I don't hear your audio yet. Still no audio.
How about now?
Gotcha. Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. There were many, many, I would say at least six, maybe more, talks, sessions about Kerry at, IIW. I attended, about half of them. And the reason I think it is very relevant, though I'm not, you know, expert enough to do useful justice to the points, somebody else may have attended some of these, but the point I want to make is that the Kerry work, key event, key, I
receipt?
Don't even remember.
Is that a part of it?
Anyway, the Kerry work is being done by somebody who is a consummate security professional and has been at it, you know, Sam Smith, as an academic, has been at it for a long time, security in general, and Kerry in particular. And many, at least a couple of the sessions, talked about protocol impacts of adopting a authentic data framing, which is also a framing that Dave Huseby has introduced at the last IIW, though he didn't speak too much about it this time. And so to the extent that our concern here around the protocols is obviously security more than anything else. I think it would be very worthwhile to basically see the kind of protocol recommendations or you know, for instance, the role of capabilities in an API security framework. And I'll kind of leave it at that. If people are interested, somebody might start a thread and I'll try and dig up at least some of the materials. Again, there might be people on the call that know more of what I'm talking about, but at least on Friday, I thought there were a lot of good points to consider relative to the overall security of protocols for issuance and verification. Thank you.
Got it. Thanks, Adrian. Perhaps what we should do is maybe start a thread on the Credentials Community Group mailing list about Kerry and maybe having Sam Smith come and present either to the broader group or specifically to this group. Adrian, do you feel like that would be a reasonable next step there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fascinated by the depth of his considerations of the issues here, and I think it would be very important for any of us doing protocol work, but especially in this context, because you know, I'll just give you the punchline, or at least the takeaway is that if you introduce the recommendations that he has around the security aspects, then you end up not having to have a compromise in security, and you sort of turn it into an availability issue if you use the Kerry model. And the Kerry model for he talks about zero trust as being a triangle of three things of which you can only have two out of three. And he basically points out how you can avoid compromising the security component or the by turning it into an availability problem, which you can then just throw money at. And you still have confidentiality and privacy issues that cannot be solved cryptographically or technically, but at least you can take an intractable problem and make it just be a matter of money.
Interesting. Anyone else with the report out from the Internet Identity Workshop, anything related to the VC API work that we should be aware of or possibly pull people in to speak to? Go ahead, Dimitri.
I think on a similar note, there was a lot of activity at IIW with regards to the WAC-EPEX spec, which sort of kind of mirrors, kind of complements what VC API is doing. So I as always, I want the two groups aware of what each other is doing and seeing how we can differentiate or interop or something.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, it feels like we really should bring Zori here today. Is there anybody else that's involved in the Wacky Packs work that's here today? Brian Richter. Perhaps what we should do is figure out a way of bringing the Wacky Packs people into this group or us go into that group and kind of look at what the overlaps are. Like, can you run those things over the VC API? Is there a desire to do that? You know, that sort of thing. So that's another thing we should try and do. Dimitri, who do you think would be the right person to talk to do that?
So definitely Ori. I can think of a couple more candidates. I do attend some of the presentation exchange calls, but I'd have to get back to you on that. If, in real broad terms, the main difference that I see in what presentation exchange is doing and what VC API is doing is presentation exchange focuses on a thoroughly asynchronous model, whereas VC API, because it is HTTP, assumes asynchronicity of a request response. So that's the main sort of philosophical difference. Everything else is data model differences. Like the way that Transition Exchange describes what sort of credential you want is slightly different from, for example, the VP request spec or something else, right? But everything else is just data model differences. It's that main philosophical difference, I think, that's important.
Interesting. And given that, I mean, you know, that those are community members that we're used to working with and like the DID group, it would behoove us to try and figure out if there's any alignment we can do, and by doing so, any momentum that can be gained on the right way to do some of this stuff. Adrian, you're on the queue, and then Mike.
Yes, just because Dimitri, to Dimitri's thread here, the overwhelming impression at this IIW is that DIDCOM is a foundation for everything going on in the SSI universe. I can't even think of a, you know, and I paid total attention, of a single session that sort of questioned as to whether it makes sense to build all of the protocol work around SSI and some of the data model work as well, of course, around the assumption that, you know, you have DIDCOM involved in one way or another. And I think it is, at least from my perspective, worth questioning whether everything has to run on top of DIDCOM. You guys know how I feel about many of these things. This isn't the time and place to talk about it, but I do think that we as this particular group need to consider where we are in the so-called stack relative to DIDCOM. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Mike, you're up. I'll scribe for you.
Thanks, Manu. And I know I want to say it was on one of the CCG main calls. I think I brought the Wacky Packs folks in a few weeks back to kind of get a quick overview. I did want to note that my sense is if they continue down the path that they're on, they'll ultimately wind up in a place where at least large portions of the VC API are 100% compatible with what's going on the Wacky Packs side of things, though possibly with some DIDCOM in the mix and things like that. But that, you know, from a raw API standpoint and exchange standpoint, that would be an end goal. And I believe the statement that was made at the end of that meeting, was that there was a goal towards preferably converging with work such as VC API as opposed to diverging, which I think is a good attitude to take. I would also echo something that Adrian said, which is we do probably need to think broadly about DIDCOM and, you know, understand where and how that possibly interrelates with the work we're doing here.
All right. Hopefully I got all that. Awesome. Great input. And I think that's everyone. And given we've got to get to our main agenda, we'll move on unless anyone has anything else that really needs to be said on this call about IW. All right. Next item on the agenda is really kind of, forgot, VC API renaming. So the specs have been renamed, not the text in the specs yet, but the repositories have been renamed. This channel has been renamed. We are now not the VC HTTP API work. We are now the VC API work, until we decide to change the name again, which hopefully we won't. So that's done. Just a heads up to everyone that that has happened. We haven't had objections to the name change, even though we were expecting possibly some to happen. And that's just that. Any questions, concerns about that before we move on? Yep. Mike Prorock, Adrian requested that we send out updated calendar invites. We've updated most of the calendar invites, but there's one, which is the CCGs, which has not been updated yet. It will be updated. So hopefully next time everyone will come here instead of going to the old room. All right. Next up, VC API prioritization. We probably need to figure out what we want to focus on for the next couple of months. So there are a couple of items that we could discuss here, and this is really more of an, it's a conversation. We're not trying to decide anything today. We're trying to kind of get the options on the table of what we want to focus on and how we want to focus the work specifically so that we get stuff done instead of potentially wrapping ourselves around the axle. For example, do we want to focus on scenarios and flows? So Joe and Eric have done some really great work on talking with various community members and documenting what kind of API flows they currently have or ones that they're comfortable with. And there's that documentation that exists. Do we want to try and take that and apply it to use cases and scenarios to try and focus? And or do we want to be test driven where we really start putting a lot of effort into the test suite and kind of using that to drive things? Like maybe we have some end-to-end tests in the test suite that can drive these issuer and verifier APIs to accomplish some of our use cases. Taking a test-driven approach helps us get, you know, hit in the face with problems very early on about things that the API needs to do that it, where it doesn't do it already. There are things like where does revocation fit in or what signature suites do we want to use, or how are we going to do credential refresh? And of course the age old question of authorization. So I'm kind of throwing those ideas out there on, you know, how we want to, focus the work. Go ahead and feel free to queue up to kind of talk to how you would like to see us focus the work over the next couple of weeks to months. I see Mike's on the queue. I'll scribe for you, and then Joe's after that. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks. Hopefully my mic is still picking up here.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I think doing a quick reconciliation between the work that Joe and Eric and others have been doing on the use case side to then gap analyze what functions are we missing, right? What actual method signatures, et cetera, are we missing? Almost has to be first priority, right? We know there are certain use cases that are reasonably well documented, though not perfectly yet. And making sure we can actually map those things over to those use cases over to actual method calls in the API definitions to me seems like a highly important topic. Otherwise, we're kind of almost wasting a lot of that work, or at least deferring a lot of work that could take place. That also will align with setting up tests against those API calls as they're defined, right? So I think that goes kind of a little bit hand in hand with some of that testing side. So.
Great. Thanks. Mike, Joe, you're up next.
Yeah, I want to anchor that. A big part of those flows. So we started with a very simple Chappy flow. And then I sat down with, Mike and Ori and did a supply chain driven flow where we don't have a human in the loop. And then, we also went back and then redid Chappy with that same sensibility and the same language. And we've discovered some nice things. What I want to anchor is that the main output of that work is not the diagrams as much as an understanding of a shared vocabulary through which we can all describe the solutions and our implementations. There are boxes that for some of us are combined, but for others of us, they're separated for specific reasons. And sort of just finding shared language that we can use together feels like it's still the most important work we're doing right now.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Tobias, you're up.
Yeah, so I suppose somewhat similar to the thing that Joe's touching on, it may be somewhat different. I'm interested to consider and be sure as a group of the broader patterns and flows, such as using Chappy, but broader than that, you know, how does end-to-end an end user turn up at a website as a, you know, effectively an anonymous web user, become authenticated and, you know, that essentially that session and the security kind of mechanisms of the VCHTTP API ensure that that person is issued a credential for them. So, for example, to relate that to some other work we've done in the space around OpenID Connect, how can we leverage existing kind of login protocols as protection mechanisms to essentially issue these credentials in a way that works with a lot of the existing deployed login protocols of today. So I hope that makes sense, but almost taking a step back and making sure that we've got the right kind of patterns available at that VCHTTP API to make that true.
Got it. Thank you, Tobias. Let me try and synthesize what I'm hearing, because I think what I hear is alignment, so that's good. So we have the flow work that Joe and Eric and Ori and Mike have been working on. What we could do is use that as a shared basis for the flows and the language and the vocabulary that we can use to kind of talk about these flows. And then we can talk through them to see if they align or if they do not align with the way people are building systems. Tobias, that could potentially give us places to anchor that discussion you are talking about. Like, you know, where we look at a flow and we look at a particular error in that flow, and then we can all debate whether or not that's, you know, OpenID C Connect or OAuth 2 or GNAP or something, right? I mean, we can point to each arrow and concretely kind of talk about what kind of, for example, authorization we expect there or what kind of messages we expect to flow over those. And then kind of to your point, Mike, once we have some fairly tight focused flows, we may be able to then reflect those in the test suite and see if we can do that end to end using the existing APIs we have. And if we don't, we have to add options or new endpoints or things of that nature. Does that seem like a synthesis of what everyone wants? Did I miss any detail that's important there? Go ahead, Mike. I'll scribe for you.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I think the one note, and I think Joe kind of touched on it, that I at least want to see from an implementer hat standpoint is really to make sure that we are covering some of the real world use cases. Some of us are already interoperating on, right? Like with MogMood and, the MavenNet folks and Transmute and Measure ourselves, which are very much those system to system, no human in the mix type flows. And that's not to say that the other flows aren't just as important. They are, right? But it's just to say, I do want to make sure that we don't lose sight of that, because that's stuff that we frankly need to document and get out in the open and make sure we're getting feedback from the broader group. And otherwise we're going to kind of continue going down a, you know, weird little path where it's just kind of isolated, which I don't think any of us really want. Right. So that's just something I want to make sure that's covered there, from my side.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Adrian, you're up.
So wondering if Zero Trust architecture considerations are going to be called out explicitly as part of these flows and these reviews. Thank you.
All right. I expect it to come up in the discussion, Adrian. Whenever we point to a particular flow or a particular arrow in the diagram, it is a invitation to talk about what kind of trust is around that, around that boundary, around that arrow. Okay. So what's being unsaid. So Tobias, there may be, we have to focus as a group, and the question might be, what are we going to focus on first? Are we going to focus on, the simplest flow first? And that would almost presume a VC, a pure machine to machine communication, like what the supply chain folks are doing. Those are also fairly, straightforward to think about, meaning like there's no browser in the mix. There's no external, anything. It's just one machine talking to another machine. So those are fairly simple to talk about and reason about and get a good base there. And then we could talk about, the other flows, OIDC or CHAPI or whatever, kind of as a secondary thing. And I'm fairly certain firmly with DigiBazaar hat on, I think we'd be fine with taking that approach. It lets us all dip our toes in the water before jumping all the way in. But I would love to hear from Tobias, who's put yourself on the queue, about that approach.
Yes, I think we've had discussions in the past about the VCH API and whether or not for the kind of, I'm going to call them sort of self-service credential issuance sort of flows, where an end user goes to a website and uses existing kind of login infrastructure with that website to essentially authenticate and, prove to that website who they are, and therefore establish enough context that, a credential about them can be issued. And in that case, I see the VC API, I'm struggling to drop the HTTP in the name now, as potentially a back-end API, right? Because it's an API that, given a set of claims, will produce a credential and return that. Whereas when you have an authenticated session, essentially you more likely want to hand some form of unique identifier for that user so that, their user record can be dredged out of a database and some other additional context around which claims you're interested in and how they should be formatted in the form of a credential and return that. And that feels like a layer on top of this API. And maybe that's probably maybe one assumption or one question I'd pose to the group is that right? Or have I got a different mental model to others?
Actually, you go ahead, Joe.
Sure. I think we're trying to move sort of beyond that framing. So I think that's where we started, certainly with the DHS SVIP work. You know, it was the issuer runs the issuer service for their issuer app, and the verifier controls the verifier service for their app. So that was definitely a back-end kind of API. But when we pulled in the holder and we want to start having flows there, that changed quite a bit. And I think that's the biggest gap, because it's the youngest in terms of our development of consensus and understanding and shared language. So I think we need to move beyond just the back end and figure out how do we get the user involved. One of the things that came up in the flow conversation, when we looked at, hey, every arrow here that's a message from one component to another, we should know what the authorization answer is. Like, how is that endpoint authorized? And that includes the user who is using the wallet, right? So how you log in your wallet either is going to be in scope or out of scope, but we should have an opinion about it. You know, different people are doing it different ways. But I think we need to move into that and get understanding around that.
All right, plus one to that. What I was going to mention, Tobias, is, I mean, what you said sounded right to me, meaning like that is a legitimate, that's a legitimate flow. But I don't know if that's necessarily the question that you were asking. But you know, if we wanted to focus in on the user has already authenticated themselves with the site and has a bunch of, you know, has the site has all the amount of information it needs to run a credential issuance. And that's the part that we talk about first is, you know, we start off from they already have all the information they need to issue the credential. And now it's just a simple API call to issue. Like, you know, maybe using that as a way of focusing the discussion and then opening up the aperture to like, okay, well, let's talk about what happened before that stage next. I think that's a fine way to go about it, as well. Speaking to what I think Joe's saying, though, is I know I've seen some of the newer diagrams that I've seen, tease out each one of these kind of components that we're talking about in a little more depth. And I think we do need to get on this. Everyone needs to kind of look at that and poke at it to make sure that we're all on the same page there so that we're actually talking about, you know, the same things using the same words in language. That will reduce a whole lot of confusion, I think, that we might have as a group. So I guess one of these is a question, Joe, like, do you feel like you've got enough documentation in good enough shape to where we could just look at it and kind of take the conversation from there? Given that you've, you know, talked to Chappy people and, you know, supply chain people. And I know that you've got something scheduled with, you know, David Chadwick. It feels like you've consolidated enough information for us to all take a look at it and go, yeah, that aligns with my mental model or not. So the question, Joe, is, you know, do you feel like we're at a stage where we can start really looking at this stuff as a group, and then kind of working from some kind of, you know, basis? Tobias, you're on the queue next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the most recent conversation, the points that you made, Manu, really just sort of rounded out what I wanted to say anyway. So I'll pop myself off the queue. Thanks.
Okay, but that was aligned? Like, that's what you were saying? You're like, okay, you know, we can – the broader question that you're concerned about, Tobias, is like let's talk about how OIDC, you know, plays in this ecosystem – but maybe what we do is we zoom in to assuming OIDC has happened and we have all the information we need to issue. Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, I definitely, I think that that's essentially what I was offering is the last time we sort of talked about that was that would be sort of the perspective, right? That VCA API, kind of the point in which it's sort of picked up in its current state, is assumes, you know, if you've used OIDC to authenticate the end user with the kind of the issuing party or the issuing site, then that's kind of orthogonal. But I think perhaps, and I was just saying to Joe in chat that, I will, look to catch up with him and also maybe just share some context around what we've done with OpenID Credential Provider and see if there's some learnings that we can bring back to the VCA API, working group and integrate into this work.
Plus one, sounds great. Joe, you're on the queue next.
Yeah, so I think we're close to ready and ready enough that I should be able to put together PR with some with a write up for a section as a proposal for the architecture diagram update in the spec. I haven't scheduled with David. It's on the queue, so we've had some email back and forth, but frankly, I had some personal disruption. So he and I haven't talked. I also want to sit down with Tobias and go over the OIDC. But I think the artifacts are ready enough to get engagement. You know, maybe you were on the conversation with Dave and, you know, there's a lot to digest. And as you digest it, it's like, wait a minute, that's not how I think about it, but what about? And then but we dealt with it this way. So there's some learning curve and learning pain that, we may as well get started on and start hashing out these questions of, hey, that box doesn't look like my box. How does that even make sense? And then teasing out, well, maybe we have to split that box, or maybe we reframe the language for that box, or those sorts of things. But I think we're ready to publish something. So I think I could take on an action item to get a PR by next Tuesday, for people to look at.
All right. That sounds great, Joe. Thank you for volunteering to do that. And so let me try and again synthesize what I think I'm hearing the group say. We're saying, okay, we're going to take a look at those diagrams and the vocabulary, and we're going to, you know, poke at that kind of stuff over the next couple of weeks. And once we get to a point where we feel like we have a fairly good understanding of, you know, the language and the flows, then we are going to try and translate that into our test suite, and try and execute some flows in our test suite and see if there's, you know, vendor interop. You know, we'll add things that aren't missing and things like that. But we're going to try and follow it up with actually driving the VCA API to do some of the things that are in the diagrams. And then kind of iterate, from there. And then, you know, and then, you know, potentially expand scope and think about other larger things. But we're going to try to start in a very focused way and then build out from there. Joe, you're on the queue.
Yeah. I just want to know, I think once we get some shared language in the diagram, right? Some sense that we're mostly talking about the same thing most of the time. I think we can split the test suite work, which sounds like really valuable, with a conversation that goes through those messages and talks about how is authorization happening. And whether or not the spec is silent on it, and it just says there should be authorization here. For example, the user authorizing themselves into their own wallet or authenticating into the wallet and then having, you know, implicit authorization. That's probably out of scope, but we need to say that it's up to the wallet to deal with that. So I think we can split those work streams once we get the common language together.
Okay, sounds good. So let me ask if there are any objections to this general direction of how we work over the next couple of weeks. Does anyone have any, like, really horrible sinking feelings about it, any concerns? You don't feel like if we go down this path, we're going to be productive, or it's not a good use of people's time. Any misgivings, concerns, or objections? Go ahead, Mike. I'll scribe for you.
Yeah, the only thing, it feels honestly a little slow given that we do know that certain types of operations have now been described and I think had really good language ascribed to them in some of the use case docs. So the only question I would have is around guidance regarding other PRs that fill in gaps based on that, you know, over the course of the next several weeks as we're going through and having these discussions, et cetera, right? Because, you know, certain things like if I think about the supply chain flow, there are some things that could be attacked pretty quickly there that would actually cover, you know, where some of our hard gaps are. But I don't want to push the group out of line, right? If that kind of parallel thing is potentially, you know, confusing or harmful to the group, I want to avoid that kind of thing. So that's why where I just want some clarity.
Mahmoud, you're on the queue, and then Joe after you.
There was an earlier idea for some reason. I think it was Mike who said it, but I really can't remember who mentioned it. The idea was we translate use cases into methods and we make that an action item that we can actually test against, right? I think that's an approach that can be done completely parallel to the upcoming PR that Joe is going to propose. And I personally don't see any reason why that would be blocked. And so my, you know, recommendation is we do both of those at the same time. We've moved relatively slowly for the past, you know, little bit, and I think this is one good way to make up some, you know, lost ground.
Great. Thanks, Mahmoud. I think that's an excellent point. Joe, you're up next.
One, I definitely think we shouldn't hold back on PRs. Because we're waiting for stuff. I think the PRs themselves will engage in this conversation about language, right? So I'm absolutely sure I'm going to write something up and people are going to say, but wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But if we can point to a longer description in a PR where someone's trying to expand on how that actually implements the spec, that informs the conversation very well. So I don't want the languaging work to be a bottleneck for that. My struggle with my answers, because for Mahmoud, I do think in the, and I'm hoping Eric might address some of this, from the use case team perspective. The diagrams came out of confusing language with different use cases using different words to talk about what may or may not be the same thing. So I'm not sure the use cases as currently published are using the nomenclature that would let us get to a shared API from it. I think fleshing it out for the same reason I just said about Mike's suggestion is useful. But I think we might be struggling with nomenclature still.
Great. Thanks, Joe. I put myself on the queue to like agree, like let's do this in parallel. There's no reason to create blockers if people can write tests and like end-to-end workflows in the API and put it in the test suite. Without being blocked by anyone, like do that. Like we shouldn't hold that work up. Just be aware that you may have to rewrite your flow or your test based on some decision that the group, you know, makes. But I mean, you know, if you can do kind of an end-to-end, workflow or end-to-end, use case, in the test suite, that's a sign of success, right? It means that we've defined at least enough to do something useful with the API. Eric, you're on the queue.
Yeah, mostly just wanted to give a little bit of an update with the status of the use cases document. So I was on PTO for 2 weeks, and right before I left, we began the transition to move from the Google document to a standalone GitHub repo. And we were kind of in the middle of that process when I left, and I believe Juan has also been out for a couple of weeks. So I would just ask maybe for one more week to get the repo into a state with the respec being right and everything, so that we can start having PRs pushed against the use cases repo itself and have discussions that way. Might be more useful than at least taking time in the next week. Just because we were in transition.
plus one to that. I think we have plenty to talk about in the meantime. Mahmoud, you're on the queue. And you might be muted. Yeah, you're muted.
You would think 2 years and I can figure this out, but this is a question out of sort of general ignorance of the current state of that document. We do not currently have a way to map a, this use case utilizes methods 1, 2, 3, or this use case would like to use methods 1, 2, 3, right? My thinking is, and I'm happy to volunteer for this, is we probably need a list of these are the expected endpoints for each use case. That way we can at minimum surface and bubble up all the misconceptions and all the things that may be implicit, you know, as a secondary way rather than just the diagrams.
Excellent point. Joe, you're on the queue. And are muted.
Yeah, so it's an interesting suggestion. I struggle with it because the use cases should drive the endpoints, not the other way around. But I do think it is important for us to understand the coverage and where the use cases imply certain things. But our current list of endpoints may or may not be correct. And I think the use cases is where we're finding out which use cases are not well supported by the current APIs. So let me hand that back to Mahmoud. I see you jumped on the queue.
Sorry, I think maybe I didn't articulate my point well enough. What I'm trying to say is what I would like under each use case is this use case would like to use X, Y, and Z existing endpoints or needs, you know, A, B, and C new endpoints to be created, right? That is to say, each use case would say, this is what I can currently do with what I have, and these are the gaps that I'm looking to fill in. And like, these are the gaps that I, you know, need to be filled in. And so that would help us inform, you know, future work.
Go ahead and respond, Joe, if you've got a response.
I'm still struggling with it. I mean, I think it's valuable to do that alignment. My part of it is, you know, stylistic about how I do requirements work in my own practice. So, I'm worried about the existing endpoints shaping the use cases instead of the other way around.
But if I could, Joe. Sure. Mahmoud, it sounds to me like there is a requirements section in the current use cases document with yet-to-be-defined requirements that at least if you look at, say, the VC use cases document get kind of assigned to the use cases as they apply. So it sounds like you're talking about something maybe similar to that type of section with a focus on the endpoints, where once a use case is written and formatted, you would then we would then go look at the endpoints and make sure that the use case is well supported by the endpoints and then list which endpoints it would use. And I think that something like that could definitely be useful, and if you wanted to maybe put it on the queue to have a discussion with Juan and myself and Joe maybe after this next week when we get the use cases repo right, I would be up for something like that.
All right, and I'm seeing that's it from Mahmoud. So sounds like the handful of you need to chat a bit more about that. But sounds like there's a good direction there. Okay, 5 minutes left. Let me again kind of try and synthesize what I'm hearing. So what are the next steps here? So, Joe, you're going to prep a PR that the group can look through and review next week. We'll make that the main topic of the call. I'll put some, you know, issue management in there if we want that. But the hope here is that, you know, that is going to drive a good bit of the discussion around alignment. In parallel, if people feel like they can add things to the test suite, do that. Don't let this stuff stop you from doing that, but just be aware that we might change things later on, but that's just, you know, the name of the game. And I think that's the kind of the proposal. We'll do that for a couple of weeks and see if folks feel like we're using everyone's time wisely and being productive. And if, we are, we'll keep going that direction. If we're not, we'll regroup and, pick a different direction. Real quick, noting that we have 4 minutes left. I had a random thought and wanted to throw that out to the group about how we deal with the question of authorization statements in the specification. So we have, been kind of sort of wrapping ourselves around the axle about musts and shoulds in the specification and OAuth and GNAP and VRAR and all that kind of stuff. And the reason we were kind of doing that was because without a really strong normative testable statement in the specification, there's always a question about whether or not the test suite should be doing one thing or another. Another approach that we could take, and I think this is aligned with what Justin has been suggesting that we do, is just for the time being in the test suite, in the endpoint definitions, provide the type of authorization that, you know, the endpoint or the system understands. So, you know, if you include OAuth tokens in the configuration for the test, it, you know, the test suite will just blindly do OAuthy things. If you include GNAP or RAR or ZCAP or whatever, right? Then the test suite, given somebody implements it, will just blindly do those things. And then we can report, you know, on what kind of authorization was used without playing favorites or anything like that in the spec, just yet, if ever. All right. 2 minutes left. Justin, you're on the queue. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Manu. Yes, as you probably recall, I have very long and very strongly advocated for separating test harness requirements from actual specification text. When they leak together, it tends to lead to brittle specifications and even more brittle test harnesses that are all tangled up in the wrong sets of details that get in the way of true real-world interoperability. If this group is actually able to make that separation finally, that would be a very good thing. And if this is the first step into that, then I support that.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Justin. 4 seconds left. Go, Mike.
Yeah, to a degree, yes, I agree. I agree with that general intention. But I do have strong concerns about anything that keeps us from in the current API actual definitions, right? Anything that's going to deviate us from OpenAPI, like as a standard, et cetera, right? I think we need to kind of keep stuff on track, well-defined in a way that other people could go point at it immediately and understand it, right? So that's just all I would note there.
All right. With that, that is the call for today. Thank you, everyone for, participating, in the call and the great discussion today. We will, be taking a look at, Joe and Eric and, Ori and, Mike and a whole bunch of other people's work, next week on flows and, vocabulary and language. Thanks all. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.
Cheers.